What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
So welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring you fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African Americans who've seen success within the sport. We'll also bring you news from our favorite teams within the Premier League, MLS, NWSL, as well as inform you on top European leagues and soccer news worldwide. Whether this is your first episode with us or you've been rocking with us from the jump, again, just want to say thank you. Thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Again, my name is Cornelius. I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Salam, how are you feeling tonight?
Feeling good, man. Great weekend, great weather. Can't complain. Gabriel, how about you?
Feel good. Teams won, so happy about that. CP, how you feeling?
Great, man. It was a good week. Even better weekend. Like Salam said, the weather's starting to get a little bit warmer. Summer's around the corner, man. It's a lot of stuff is happening. But yeah, great week. Want to start this week with, you know, our American teams, starting with the NWSL. Going to start with the Orlando Pride versus the KC Current before we get into our teams, because they were the two teams in the championship last year. And, you know, they're the two teams that were on the top of the table. But after this past week, we've seen some shift between the 1, 2, and 3 teams. So the Kansas City Current ended up getting the dub 1-0 in Orlando. They now sit on top of the NWSL table with 21 points. San Diego snuck into second place with 17 points. And Orlando Pride now is in third place, sitting with 16 points, tied with the Portland Thorns and Washington Spirit, who also have 16 points. Huge match, man. I mean, we've been talking about it all year. These are the two heavyweights, obviously. These are the two that were in the championship last year. But this was a big win for Kansas City. I think they want their lick back. You know, last year they got all the way but fell a little short in the championship. And now, you know, they're taking the league by storm. What do y'all have to say about this 1-0 match?
Yeah, I think it's huge for them because, obviously, you know, they lost them in the finals last year. And, you know, honestly, getting 3 points away from home, that's a tough match just in general. I thought that, you know, I didn't expect this result, if I'm being completely honest. And it just shows, you know, their grit, their determination, because, like I said, to go get work hard, 1-0 win away from home, good goal by Temo. You know, they just completed the mission to, you know, another step to a bigger goal. So it was a really good match. And happy for the Current that they got their win, and they're 4 points, you know, ahead on the table now. So yeah, it's a very, very interesting table. It's on the top right now.
Yeah, just kind of building off of what Gabriel said, I think more than anything, I think this was a confidence booster for Kansas City, especially, you know, to be the defending champs in Orlando. I mean, Orlando's a tough place to play. I think that they have one of the best atmospheres in the NWSL. So to go there to get a point is massive. Yeah, 3 points is massive. And, I mean, Temo made them pay on the mistake that they made. The game was very even for the most part. The difference was just, you know, the mistake that
ultimately margins.
Yeah, the mistake that led to the goal. So you got to give them credit. Kansas City looked hungry and I think more than capable. I mean, they were good last year, but I think that they have a better shot this year. And Temo doesn't look like that. She's slowing down. So, yeah, shout out to her and Debinha too. Debinha's a beast.
Yeah, like you said, Salam, that was a very, very even match. Like, we always talk about it. Football is a game of margins. You know, you make one mistake and you can be punished. So, obviously, it's still very early in the season. Most teams have played 9 matches. Some have played 10. But, yo, it's going. You know, the table is definitely starting to take shape. We're definitely starting to see who the top teams are, the teams are to beat. So, it's been a very, very fun start to this NWSL season. So, I'm going to start with you, Gabriel. How'd your team do this week? Because I was, you know, we're at W Sports Bar watching the game together. It was very fun. So, shout out Bay FC.
Yeah, man, shout out Bay FC. You know, we were able to get a 2-0 win this week, and it was great because, obviously, you know, Angel City, they're the, you know, kind of the rival team to Bay FC. So it was great that we were able to get a 2-0 win. We've kind of been on a, you know, I wouldn't say in the mud, but we've just had a lot of ebbs and flows in our season. A lot of draws, you know, losses. But it was good to get two goals early, really back to back in the 26th and 28th minute. Allison Huff had a great match, you know, goal and assist as well. So, Taylor Huff had a great match. And yeah, I'm just happy that we were able to get 3 points. It was, of course, exciting to watch in the W as well. Great atmosphere. And yeah, I was just happy to see, you know, my team get 3 points this week. We've been starving for 3 points, and it kind of keeps us on the table now. I believe we're still right outside of playoffs, but it keeps us in the mix, you know, even though we're on the lower end of the table for playoff spots, you know, it still keeps us in the mix. So I think this is just a big win for our club, and, you know, keep the confidence. Like Colonel Salam said earlier, it's a big confidence booster, you know, especially getting a shutout as well. So love it. 2-0 win. Like I said, my team's won this week. It's feeling good. Feeling very, very good.
No, yeah, that was cool to see. And like you said, two early goals, they were able to keep the clean sheet. I think that's massive, especially when you look at all the firepower that LA does have. You know, Angel City, they have the Thompson sisters who played phenomenally but just weren't able to get a goal. Even Kristen Press, you know, she got the start this week, wasn't able to get her goal. So I think that's huge for your defense and your keeper to be able to stop them from scoring at all.
Yeah, and no Kiki Pickett this week as well. So, you know, without one of their, you know, main you know, namestays in the team, still able to get it done against, you know, a rival. Love it.
Absolutely. I'll go ahead and I'll talk about my Washington Spirit. Very, very excited match, man. I said this last week, bro. They're going to score, and we're going to get scored on. So it's going to be who can outlast the other. And shout out Casey Krueger to a 103rd minute goal to tie the game at 3-3. It's insane because Gabriel and I were sitting at the W Women's Sports Bar here in Cleveland, and you know they had the NWSL games on, and within the first 15 to 20 minutes, there were already 3 goals, and I'm like, what is going on? End of the first half was 2-3. You know, Washington was down the entire second half. And it was so frustrating. I literally had to go to the other side of the bar to watch by myself because I'm just like sitting on pins and needles, bro. Like, they get the ball. We're in the attacking third the entire second half. And I just got to give a big, big shout out. I know she's not on my team, but player of the match was let me make sure I get her name correctly. Mandy McGlynn, keeper for the Utah Royals. Absolute masterclass, fam. I know we talked about my keeper last week, but I got to give a big shout out to Mandy McGlynn. Huge saves. Like I said, the second half, Washington Spirit were on the front foot the entire time. Just could not find that goal. It was one of those games where I looked at Gabriel. I was like, bro, we're not going to get a point today.
Yeah.
There's just we're at home. We have all the momentum. You know, football just swings like that. Like, sometimes you can be on that front foot. You can have all the shots on frame, but it just didn't seem like we were going to ever be able to just cross that threshold. And she was a brick wall back there in the second half, man. I feel like, you know, they went into the half and said, all right, 3-2, no more goals. Like, just no more goals. That's the only thing we need to do. Just hold. And it took until the literal dying minutes of the
last kick of the game.
Yeah, literally the last kick of the game for Krueger to get that goal. But, you know, shout out to her, man. It was determination. That's what I've been saying about this Spirit team. They're going to fight. Like I said, they're going to score goals. So it's very, very good to see, you know, them back in that form. I think the defense, again, needs to just get a little bit tighter. Just if you look at some of the goals that we conceded, it's off of mistakes. So if they can just tighten it up in the back a little bit more, I think we'll be all right. But yeah, man, shout out to the Washington Spirit, able to get a point. Like I said, we're sitting on 16 points right now, so we're right in that 3-4-5 range. It's huge. It's good to be in that playoff, in playoff seats, middle of the season, early season. Just gives you a little bit of confidence to know that you can go and you know, get some of these matches under your belt. But yeah, man, huge, huge point. Feel like we just need to do a little bit better in the back. But Salam, how was Gotham this weekend? How'd y'all end up?
You know, I didn't really want to have to do this.
Drop the bells. Drop.
This is not good.
Some things.
You know, it's only right that I got Gotham. I support Man United. but nah, man, I think it was frustrating, man. Another slim 1-0 loss to San Diego. Damn. But the what can I say? I said a few weeks ago, shit, bro. I don't know who's texting me. Sorry, I can edit this part out. Do you guys hear that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, another 1-0 loss. This is our third game in a row where we don't score a goal. I said a few weeks ago that Roosevelt was a big miss to us, especially in the attacking third. You know, when it comes to unlocking the defense, and, you know, ultimately putting the ball in the back of the net, we just haven't been able to do that. I know Mitch Purse is just coming back, and she's not where I think, like, she could be, definitely, from the player that we've seen from her before. But, I mean, I don't know, man. We got to find goals somewhere. So it's just frustrating, man. We lost this week 1-0. We tied last week 0-0. And then the week before, we lost 1-0 as well, too. But I really wanted to shout out Kimmy Ascanio, 17 years old. She leads the San Diego Wave with 3 goals in 4 games. Her goal over the weekend was the first game winner made, was her first game winner made, and her second youngest player in league's history to score a game winner in the regular season. And San Diego find themselves sitting second in the league now, and I believe she's a big reason why. I mean, this isn't just like, you know, another, I know last week we talked about, or a few weeks ago we talked about, you know, all these young players that are emerging in the NWSL, but these young kids are actually, you know, contributing, and baller. She's a big part of that. And, you know, her team is sitting second place in the league, and to lead your team with 3 goals in 4 games is huge. And she's only 17. So shout out to her.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. I mean, I think we talked about it, man, like the emergence of a lot of these young stars is a direct impact of the women's national team, you know, in the 2010s. And now we're starting to see a lot of these, you know, they would have been 9, 10, 11, 12 at that time, start to transition. And now you're seeing them play. And it's just huge to see, you know, the NWSL just be willing to give these young players, you know, the green light. Like, hey, go, you know, I think you're ready. Just go play. And so that's super massive. I love seeing that. But yeah, man, NWSL off to a very, very good season. Let's go ahead and switch it to the MLS, man. I know Mike isn't here tonight, but we got to start with our home teams. 1-1 in the Hell is Real Derby match. You know, the battle of 71 South, 71 North, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I texted in the group chat. You know, Denki scored the early goal very, very early, 5 minutes in. But this Columbus team, they got fight, man. They got that fight. They always score. They seem to just always hang along. You can't really break them all the way down. Salam, how'd you feel after that first goal? Did you think you were going to be able to hold, or did you see this match being a little bit more difficult than it anticipated?
No, 100%. I mean, forget holding. I thought we were going to be able to get a second one, and we had the opportunity. Denki could have made it too, but, you know, you actually said it in the group. You know, the crew usually start off slow. We know what we're going to get from them. They're going to come out. They're going to control the tempo of the game. They're going to have all the possession, which is, for the most part, I would say the first half actually didn't go that way. The first half, I felt like they did start slow, what they've shown all season so far. And we've done what we've done all season, and was evidenced when you guys came to Austin. First half, we were on it. We were the better team the first half, and we created loads of chances. Yes, we got the goal. Another assist by Evander, another goal by Denki. But, I think, man, I just the frustrating part for me was, you know, all season, I think that we started well. We started well. We as an FC Cincinnati, just the finishing games part, sometimes it's not – it's never just easy. It's not, it's never easy, right? But I just feel like some, you know, with experienced teams sometimes, there seems to be like a little bit less, I guess, chaos. When you guys came to Austin, it was the same thing, right? We were dominating the first half, and then what? We give up a penalty early in the second half.
Early.
Completely changes, you know, the trajectory of the game. And when you look at our team, man, I think our team is really designed to where, like, if we go up early in these games, I think that we have the team to see out a game. Defensively, I think that we're sound. I think the problem that we run into, and yes, we just signed Kai Kamara, so hopefully he can, you know, add some more goals for us off the bench, or whenever he's getting the opportunities that he's getting. But in the second half, man, I would like to see us kind of find that consistent source of goals. Where's that going to come from? You know, can we stop shooting ourselves in the foot, you know, in games like this? And, you know, I think any other team in the league, I think for you to go to Columbus and to get a point, I think that's, you know, I would say it's a pretty good result. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me and seeing where I think that this team could be and just seeing, you know, us at our best in certain parts of the season, I don't know. I think that this was a big learning lesson for FC Cincinnati. And hopefully, you know, we can learn from this. And the one thing Columbus has on their side is experience and a great manager. So, you know, we got to learn from this.
Yeah, I agree. I think I feel like Columbus were honestly a little fortunate to get out with a point, if I'm being completely honest. I feel like they stole 3 points. Or, you know, they stole a point from you, 2 points from you. You guys were definitely on the front foot for the first half, for sure. Second half, you know, they're at home. They're going to be on the front foot. They have to get a goal. But, man, Evander and Denki, it's coming together, bro. You can just see it. It's coming together. And
I even mean, the honestly, assist, I feel like he just knew where Denki was at far post. And he was like, let me just pop it back, see if he's, he can get that. I was just like – You said it day one. You're like, once they click, it's going to be a problem for the league, and they definitely have clicked. Sorry,
No, you're fine. They're starting to click. Honestly, it really – how good Evander is really, really set in when we went to that match, you know, last week.
Yeah.
Because I remember when he played that ball for the assist on the second goal against Austin, and I was like, whoa. You know, I was like, whoa. And then seeing it on camera, I was just like, yeah, this is exactly. I was like, okay. Seeing Denki, I was just like, oh, okay. You know, and just seeing their connection, you're just like, oh, they don't even like really know each other like that well yet. But you can just tell that every day they're working in training together to make this connection stronger and stronger, and it's starting to show. League's in trouble. With Kai Kamara, too. Coming off the bench, providing, you know, fresh legs, yeah, it leads in trouble. So yeah, no, I think Columbus was honestly very fortunate to get a point, but very you know, that's that persistence, determination, experience that you speak of, and you know, great players, great managers, able to, you know, stay the course, and we were able to get a point. So happy to get a point. You know, I think, you know, Columbus will be looking at that match, and you know, they're probably proud of themselves too at the end of the day, because they know they didn't play their best match, but at the same time, they're able to, you know, still can keep a point where in a match they probably didn't think they're going to get a point. So
it was, and to be honest,
good battle of heavyweights. Good battle of heavyweights. Yeah. You said what?
No, I was saying, to be honest, shout out to your keeper as well, because you guys definitely controlled the first half, but the second half, you know, once Columbus gets that goal, you know, the PK, I think they have a little bit of confidence. They're at home. The game opens up a lot more, and your keeper made some amazing saves, especially in the end off a couple corners or a couple headers that, you know, fingertip saves over the bar. And so, you know, you guys, I said, did play the better match, but you did fall asleep a little bit in the second half, and I think Columbus saw that and turned the gears a little bit. So shout out to you guys as well, because that was a big point. It was definitely a big point, especially in the Eastern Conference. We've been talking about it all year, how the East is where you want to be. You know, Philly sitting on top right now with 29 points, but Cincinnati, you guys also have 29 points. And then Columbus with 27. So, you know, it's like we said, Inter Miami starting to drop a little bit. They just got beat 3-0. I believe the Orlando game is over. But yeah, you guys, I would say Philly, Columbus, Cincinnati, You guys are definitely the top three in the East. You guys are definitely the teams to beat. So definitely a good showing. I don't know if you guys have anything to say about the other teams in the league, but
I'm sorry. We have to speak on it. And I want to speak on it now because I also have a statement about it. But the LA Galaxy, man.
They haven't played yet.
They played midweek. And
They
lost to the Philadelphia Union. They're up 2-0. Two goals in the second half, in the first half, pretty quickly. End up losing 3-2. Went down to got scored on twice. Of course, Philadelphia is at home. They're pushing for a third and able to get a third goal in the 96th minute. I just don't know, man. I just don't know. And you can just see the confidence in players after that first, I don't even want to compare these two teams. I'm not trying to compare them, but it's more of a mentality thing. It reminds me a lot of when Spurs would be up 2-0 or 3-0 sometimes. You can still tell that they're not confident, which is weird, because they know they're so scared of getting scored on that. Oh, once one goal happens, the whole mood shifts, and now we're liable to lose or tie the match when we're up a couple goals. And I feel like the same thing about LA Galaxy. I feel like once they got scored on once, it was heads were down. It was you can tell the mood shift within the team and the confidence from everyone just go down, and it's crazy. It was just crazy to see, honestly, just in real time. It was really, really wild to see. And I'm going to make a shout. I think they win tonight. This is a rivalry match. LAFC versus LA Galaxy. And they're at home. And I feel like this can't continue. I'm sorry. This just can't continue. It can't, bro. It can't. It cannot continue. And I think this is the match where like you said, El Tráfico, they're trying to you have to show up for that match. So I think they'll get a win tonight. They're currently playing right now. I think the match just started. So I'll be rooting for them. But yeah, that's just one game I want to touch on. I can't believe they lost again. And in the manner that they keep losing.
What do you think about? I agree. What do you think about them re-signing Greg Vanney to a contract extension? They doubled down, essentially. They said, no.
We believe in this guy.
He got us. And to be fair, he is one of the more respected coaches in the MLS. But, I think Mike said this before. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this, though.
No.
Talk about having a blip, but this is
This is uncharted territory, bro.
It's match 14. They have no wins,
bro.
Even Southampton got a win by now, I believe. 14 matches in, this is unprecedented after winning the cup.
Yeah, bro.
Come on, bro. Can you imagine, can you imagine winning? Liverpool won the league. Can you imagine them not winning a match 14 weeks into the season?
Yeah.
Everyone's looking bro, what's going on? this is uncharted territory. They doubled down. Obviously, I'm happy for the organization. They really believe in the guy, and he is well respected. But at a certain point, I don't know a lot of managers that are surviving this or are getting new contracts, winless. I don't know. I really don't know. But I hope they can. I think they'll get a. Yeah, I think they'll get a win tonight, though. I truly do think they'll get a win tonight. Hopefully, you never know, though. Never know. You can always count on their matches for being, having a twist or a turn here and there, or potentially just being seven goals. Who knows? But I think they'll get a dub tonight for sure.
No, I'm rooting for them as well. I don't think they'll get a goal, but we'll just have to see how the cards unfold, but speaking of contract extensions and coaches, let's move to the transfer news. move across the pond. Let's go to Europe for a bit. As we know, Barcelona has won the league, La Liga. Shout out to Barcelona. And with that, we've gotten the official news that Don Carlo Ancelotti is officially going to be the new manager of the Brazil national team. And with that, Xabi Alonso is going to be stepping in as the new manager of Real Madrid. I want to start there. You know, we have some other big transfer news to talk about, but I want to start with the managers at first, because, you know, after Xabi Alonso did bits last year, you know, going essentially unbeaten for the entire year with Leverkusen, and, you know, they lost at the end of the, you know, they lost one of their matches, but it was a cup final. Xabi Alonso has emerged as one of the best coaches in the world right now. And, you know, I believe we all kind of knew this Real Madrid appointmentship was kind of looming, being a former player of them, obviously winning very many trophies with them, being a club legend, Spanish legend as well. How do you feel about this Xabi Alonso appointment? And, you know, after Barcelona, you know, has done what they did this year, it seems Real Madrid said, we got to sign everybody to go beat our rivals. You know, they got, I don't want to butcher his name, but Dean Huijsen, the center back who was at Bournemouth, who had a phenomenal breakout season, only 19 years old, quick got signed to Madrid. Good. Got Xabi Alonso. Obviously, they had Mbappe. So that team is gearing up to go the distance. Salam, I want to get your take on it first. How do you feel about this appointment, Dean as well? And do you think Madrid has what they need to finally go ahead? And, you know, these last couple of years have been topsy-turvy for them a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think the signing of Xabi Alonso is a great addition to that team, because I think that he's going to bring a much-needed control and just kind of like an identity to how they play. Right now, I joke about it, but I just feel like Real Madrid is like, they're not like a real team. You know what I'm saying? They're a collection of superstars. I know that that's what they've been, the Galacticos and all that. But I think you have a lot of talented players in their prime. I would say in their prime or approaching their prime. So to have a manager like Xabi Alonso that can implement his ideas, and clearly they work, because, I mean, he's
invincible, man.
Bro, yeah. Invincible season with Bayern Leverkusen. You were coached by some of the best managers ever, you know. So, yeah, bro, I think that he's going to give them much needed structure, I would say. As far as Huijsen goes, to be very honest with you, going into this season, I really didn't know this kid at all. But this, he's really emerged as like, I mean, I would say one of the best center backs in this league so far, at least this season. Van Dijk is obviously up there. I'd be curious to see kind of what team of the season looks like. But, no, I think that he's had a breakout season. So, I mean, they need center backs, bro. I still think that they need one more to kind of replace Rudiger. So, I don't know who that person is. But, no, I mean, you brought in Huijsen, you brought in Trent. You brought in Xabi Alonso. I still think that there's probably another piece that they could add. I think, like, I would love to see them.
What more do they need?
You know what? This may sound crazy, bro, but, like, I really think, like, if Rodrigo left and they brought in, like, a real striker so that Mbappe could go back out to the left, I think would provide them with a much needed balance, just because I'm not saying that Mbappe can't play as a nine, but I believe you get the most out of him when he's out wide. And Vinicius has shown that he can play on either wing. So if you get that, you know, that real striker in there, then, you know, and he doesn't even need to be anything crazy. He could be just I don't even want to disrespect him because he's such a great player. But if you had like a Benzema,
I knew you were about to say that.
You know, and I hate not by any means disrespecting Benzema, but, you know, if you could just even have just someone who just kind of connects the dots for you, I think that they'd be great. But where they need to strengthen is that back line, and I think that they're obviously showing that they need to address that. And you know, the one thing that I respect about Madrid, man, is whenever Barca wins, they always have some sort of answer. Like, they address
it. They re-up.
Perez, yeah, bro. He does not play around by that. Oh, you got to the semifinal of the Champions League and you won La Liga and Copa del Rey? Nah, bro. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, he doesn't play that. So much respect to Perez.
Yeah, no, I think you touched on a lot of great points. I think my biggest thing is you have there aren't a lot of players, I feel like, on Madrid. And I don't want to say this like lightly. I know that they take, you know, playing for Madrid very seriously and they take the badge seriously. But I think having Xabi Alonso on the staff, someone who has won there, someone who, you know, club legend, captain, former captain, you know, having his mentality and having him in the building really make you understand what it's like to play for Madrid and what it is to truly be the absolute best at everything that you do. You know, to someone who can still do it, you see training videos of Xabi Alonso still pinging balls, you know, perfectly, you know, to players. So, you know, to just have someone like that, you know, managing, I think it will really speak volumes, because not only has he done it, he can still do it. And he knows the mentality. So I think that'll be huge for the locker room, because I think, you know, you have a lot of big personalities. And honestly, I'm really excited to see, you know, how he handles all these big personalities. You have a lot of guys in the room. You're adding Trent now to the room. That's another big personality. I know he's a little bit humbler, but, you know, this is a top right back in the world. So we're talking about. So, yeah, no, it's going to be it'll be very interesting. But I think, you know, this is definitely the right guy to push them in the right direction, you know, kind of help Madrid find their way back to success. Because if you're looking at the tail of the tape right now, Barca's definitely winning. They're definitely, you know, ahead of Madrid right now. And I know Madrid, their rivalry will never die. And I know that, like you said, Perez does not play. He will definitely re-up ASAP. So that's what he's doing. And I'm excited. I'm very, very excited to see the kind of the new era of this Real Madrid, or a new era of Real Madrid, honestly. So
you need a left back, bro. They need someone to try and stop your mouth. They need someone on the left side.
And I'm happy they signed a center back, so all these Saliba rumors can stop. not Saliba. So
no, I feel that. With Xabi Alonso stepping in, Carlo Ancelotti is, you know, headed to Brazil. And this is the Brazil team that we saw with Neymar, you know, not be able to get the prize possession of a World Cup. You know, even the Olympics, they fell short there when the Olympics was held in Brazil. You know, we've kind of seen this Brazil team over the last, I would say, decade, kind of just not achieve what we expect them to achieve.
Underachieve.
You know, when you think of world superpowers in football, you know, Germany, Brazil, England, you know, those are the top three. Italy, even Spain, you know, even when you go to Africa, you think of certain teams, you know. But for Brazil, especially how Argentina won the World Cup, you know, for Brazil to just be so lackluster in these last few, I would say in the last decade, man, they've really fallen short a lot of the time. I think Carlo Ancelotti, coming from what he's done at Madrid, coming from, you know, the pedigree that he has, this is going to be huge for Brazil. I think they really need to get serious about football again. Not saying they aren't serious, but I feel like they just haven't been a complete team. They haven't been there's something off with them, and I don't know what it's been, but, you know, I think that Carlo is going to come in and demand that they, you know, they get it together, you know, because this is a team that you always see, or you always believe that'll go far in these big tournaments, but it hasn't been that way. Gabriel, how do you feel about this appointment for Don Carlo?
I think it's cool. I think it's really cool that Vinny gets to keep his coach. you know, a lot of the Brazilian players get to keep their coach, but yeah, no, I like it. I think, like you said, this is a guy who's a proven winner, won so many cups as a player, as a manager. He will definitely set them on the right track. And you're right, I think this team needs a little bit of seriousness. I am kind of worried, just solely based on what Salam said earlier about Madrid. You know, this Madrid team with Ancelotti didn't feel very structured, you know. And that is one thing that Brazil needs for sure, is structure. And I don't know if this is the guy who's going to like really bring that type of structure. I think he'll bring winning mentality and you know, the freeness to play the game 100%. But in terms of structure, I think this is what the Brazilian team needs. So I don't know how that it'll go in that respect. But I mean, I still like it. This is the top manager that we're talking about. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's only, I look at it as a positive, but that is like just my one concern with the appointment.
Yeah, I think it's a good appointment for them. I think it definitely sends the right message if you're a Brazil fan, in terms of, you know, bringing in a proven winner, someone with that winning pedigree. But to be very honest with you, bro, I don't think that whoever the manager is really doesn't matter, in my opinion. And that's because, respectfully, these pool of players are just not what they used to be. And I know I probably sound like an old head saying that, but like, I'm sorry, but like when you look at like this Brazilian team, I mean, who really is like aside from Vinicius, Rodrigo, I would even put Bruno Guimarães up there. Like, who else is really? Who do they have? I mean, Cunha is good. Don't get me wrong, but like, bro, like this is who we're working with here. Like, I don't know, bro. No disrespect. I just feel like the quality of players just really isn't up to par to when you look at the other teams, the other top teams in the world right now. I wouldn't even say that you're better than Argentina right now. Are you even the best team in South America with the pool of players that you have? I don't know. Probably not. And then you look over in Europe, I mean, I don't know, bro. I don't even think that you're not close to France. You're not close to... I don't even think you're not close to Germany. Belgium, that maybe that's your level.
You think they're better than Italy?
No.
No. How about the Netherlands?
Netherlands would beat them. Netherlands would beat them. I don't think that they would be. I don't think that they. I don't think that they would beat Croatia.
That's a shout. I don't think they'd be in the U.S.
Well, yeah. That's where you heard about. I didn't bring up North America, but yeah, South America, I don't know, it's slow for you. But no, I mean, like I said, I think the appointment of Ancelotti is good, but you know, yeah. Respectfully, I just think they're not really working.
No, I get that.
I say that with all respect.
Nah, I definitely get that, man. But no, you know, that was just huge, you know, seeing that Don Carlo got that job. I think it's big for them. You know, we talked about Trent going to Real Madrid and, you know, Liverpool read up in steps Frimpong, which I'm very upset about, because during this Leverkusen run, Frimpong has been one of my favorite players to watch, man. He's huge. Offensively down that right-hand side, he can provide what Trent provides. And I'm not necessarily saying he's a better defender, but I think he takes more pride in playing defense. So we'll see how, you know, Frimpong steps into that Liverpool winning side and is able to, you know, add what he adds. But how do y'all feel about it? You know, Jeremy Frimpong, new right back for Liverpool FC.
Honestly... It's going to be good for them. I'm not going to say it's not going to be good, but I was talking about this with Yasser, actually. And we like to dog Trent a lot, you know, about his defending. And I don't know how much better of a defender Frimpong is. And he's also a lot shorter than Trent. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, I'm not huge on stats either, but Yasser and I already know we're looking at the stats. And he gets like the same categories, you know, where Trent is, you know, let's say, you know, certain categories, you know, Trent's 70th percentile or so, right? 60th percentile. Frimpong is like 10th percentile, 20th percentile. He's not good. The numbers aren't, not in his favor, you know. And I think, you know, from a play standpoint, I think it'll be good because, you know, Liverpool primarily keep the ball. They have the ball most of the time. So he shouldn't really, in retrospect, he shouldn't have to do that much defending. But I don't know. I'm actually very curious to see what this is like and how this goes. I'm just looking at it from a completely defensive standpoint because, like I said, I want my defenders to defend first. I'm always going to be a defensive guy first. So we'll see. It looks good on paper. It looks good on paper, but welcome to the Prem. The Prem is a little different. So I'm just curious to see how he transitions. But I think Arnie, you know, he has a good system in place. He, you know, obviously knows how to manage, and I think he'll fit into the side well. But defensively, I don't know if they're going to get it. They're getting any better, really. So
yeah, I don't know if they're going to get, I wouldn't say better by any means, because I think, you know, what Trent offers you offensively is just, I don't think any other right back is really offering you that. But I think that he's going to bring a different dynamic to this team. I think one thing that you can't teach is pace. And I think in the Premier League, obviously, you know, the physicality may not quite be there with him, but he's quick, man. And he's going to be able to, you know, really keep up with a lot of these defenders. And when you look at that back line, I really feel like, you know, especially on the outside with, you know, Trent and Robertson, like, bro, you need – those two need replaced. And I think for you to bring in this kid with a lot of energy, I think he's going to bring a lot of personality to this team. He's Dutch, so he's familiar with Arnie Slot, Virgil van Dijk, you know. So yeah. Then, bro, I think him, Frempong, and Salah next year.
Yeah, bro.
Crazy.
That's going to be – it's going to be crazy.
The whole – that whole side is just so fast, bro.
Yeah, bro. And like I said, I'm not by any means saying that he's going to be better than Trent, but I just feel like you're going to see a different – he's going to bring a new dimension to this Liverpool attack, not just the back line. Obviously, he's quick enough to kind of keep up with – I would say he's damn near – when you look at the fastest right backs in the league, he's probably up there. I don't think there's – is there anybody faster than him, really, in the league? Not really. Not at right back, you know? So, he'll at least be able to track back and, you know, and all that. But no,
they're going to be lethal on the counter. I mean, they're already lethal on the counter, and this is just feeding more into their, you know, their play style. Frimpong, Salas sprinting full pace with the ball, 3v2, 4v2, like
good luck.
It's gonna good luck, you know. So yeah, it's definitely a player for their type of play style. He fits their team 100%. It's just I have my concerns, but good sign.
No, I agree. I agree with both of what you said. I think it's going to be huge for Liverpool. Hopefully it's not as good as it can be, because I still want to win the league next year. So shout out Liverpool for that signing. But, you know, before we get into the Prem, I just wanted to throw out some accolades for a player that we have to talk about today.
No.
Premier League Player of the Season 2015 to 2016. FWA Footballer of the Year 2015 to 2016. Premier League Golden Boot 2019 to 2020. Multiple Player of the Month. Multiple Goals of the Month. BBC Goal of the Season 17-18. Premier League 15-16. FA Cup 2021. Championship. Won the championship in 2013-14 season, as well as the 2023-24 season, and the Community Shield in 21. Also scored his 200th goal for the team, Leicester legend Jamie Vardy. Man, I don't know what else to say about this guy, but all I know is that his documentary is going to go triple platinum in the footballing world. I mean, Jamie Vardy, his story is... it's a true testament to hard work and dedication, putting your head down and just playing and being the best you can be, man. I just want to say salute to Jamie Vardy. I know he played his last game for Leicester, I guess Sunday will be his last game for Leicester. Last home game was played this past weekend. Just got
a 500 appearance, I think, by the way. 500 appearances, I think, for him too. So.
Yeah. You know, he didn't start there. You know, he started in the non-league divisions, worked his way up to Halifax. From Halifax went to Leicester through the freaking mud, pulled his team up to the Premier League. They've gone up, they've gone down, they've gone up, they've gone down. But to end his season in the Premier League, I know Leicester is getting relegated this year, but still, man, for what he's been able to do for Leicester is just, it's just incredible, bro. Like I have no words. You know, Chelsea won the league in 2015. And I thought we were going to run it back. Like, that's how strongly I felt about that Chelsea team. And for whatever reason, you know, we in that 15-16 season went 10th place. But for Chelsea to be the reason that Leicester ended up winning the league was even better, you know, because we came back in the next year and we won the league again, you know. But you know, this isn't about Chelsea. This is about Jamie Vardy right now. And this is about just his greatness. Honestly, I don't think anyone in the world expected him to have this career. I don't even think he expected himself to have this career. And I'm not gonna lie, bro, I'm gonna miss seeing him in the league. You know, even in his older age, it's still fun to see him on the pitch, bro. He's just one of those players that's always going to be cemented as a Premier League legend. He's obviously a Leicester legend. I don't know when that statue is going up, but it's got to go up in the next 5 years, fam. It's got to go up sooner than later because he built that ground. Like, he honestly built that ground. You know, Leicester wasn't in the league when we were growing up, and now, whether or not they're there, we know who Leicester is. So I just wanted to take a time out to give him just a shout, man. He's been one of all, like, my favorite players to watch just because, bro, you just got to appreciate greatness sometimes. You know, like, when you see it sometimes, you know, as a fan of the, you know, our Premier League teams, we don't want to see someone this good on the other side sometimes, but bro, you just got to appreciate greatness. And what he's given this league is going to be talked about for decades, for real. I don't know if y'all have anything to say, but I just want to shout out Vardy.
Yeah, I mean, legend, man. I think it goes beyond just a statue. I think they need to name the stadium after him. I think he needs a statue in front of the stadium. You know, he needs a couple buildings. That's the type of energy that we need to give Vardy. I mean, He gave this club three cups. Mm-hmm. Three cups. You got to think about it. Two major cups and a Community Shield. Something that I don't think Leicester's seen. And, you know, and he did this in the past 10, 15 years, you know.
Bro, they played in Champions League.
Yeah, like, can you imagine Leicester City in Champions League?
Yeah.
You know, you really can't. It's not really. There are a lot of great sports stories, but as a football story, this is just top-tier content, top-tier guy. And, you know, he's definitely a personality. As you said, you know, it's just, he's fun to watch on the pitch. He's definitely a personality. You know, he's just known for grit and kind of, you know, trash-talking as well. It's kind of his game, too. So,
a little bit of shit, you know, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, no, I would definitely miss him in the league. I'd miss him seeing him play. And but, no, I think stadiums, buildings, statue, all of that needs to be, you know, of course, he's always going to have a box to go to matches. I think he'll forever be, you know, Leicester, man, Mr. Leicester himself.
Yeah, Salam, I don't know if you have any words, but.
No, I mean, you guys said it perfectly. One of the best stories, I feel like, in this modern Premier League era. I couldn't have imagined, if you would have told me in 2016 Leicester was going to win the Premier League, I wouldn't have believed you. But I'm not. I mean, he was a part of, you know, what I believe was the best part of their club history. I mean, between him and N'Golo Kanté and Riyad Mahrez, man.
Harry Maguire?
You know, Harry didn't. Harry wasn't there.
He wasn't there. No, he came after.
Yeah, he came after. Harry had gotten relegated the year before he went to Leicester City. Harry Maguire has been relegated twice, but that's my center back. No, but like you guys said, definitely one of the legends, and not just the Premier League, but England. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to lie to you guys, man. I didn't really follow the Championship at all until probably we started this podcast. I remember, Gabriel, you were always telling me about the Championship. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, this guy, I remember when he got into the Premier League, I was like, why does he have so much clout? You know, like, why is everyone like, oh, yeah, that's that's Jamie Vardy. It was like when Ivan Toney came as well, too. It was like, oh, okay, like that's, you know, we know who that is. And it's because of the work that he did, you know, in the championship. He got it out the mud. Low key, the reason why, I don't know if you guys remember, but Harry Kane was at Leicester as well, too, and he beat him out of the spot. And Harry Kane turned into what we know it, you know, of him now.
Bundesliga winner.
No, shout out to him. Yeah, Bundesliga winner, man. So, I mean, definitely one of the legends of this Premier League era of all time. And he has one of the best stories, I would say, in the Premier League. I can't really think of anyone that, in terms of, you know, guys who have really built themselves up in England, I can't think of anyone else better than him.
No, I agree, man. It's a phenomenal story. Like Gabriel said, give him everything. Give him a statue, building, everything. He deserves it all. Like Kendrick said, he really deserves it all, man. And I don't know. It's going to be like, we always talk about this. I mean, obviously we get older every day, but just like being able to live through the Vardy era, like there's a whole era that's now completed, bro. Like think about it. They won the prem. They got promoted in 2015. Won the league in 2016, and now it's 2025. So if you think about this last decade, we really saw Vardy go through it all. So shout out to him, man, and best of luck with whatever you do next, whether you decide to play for another team or if you just want to gracefully bow out and retire. I think both would be great options. There's definitely a team out there that's looking for a striker of your pedigree, even just to add a little bit in the locker room. Or if you want to go out on top, bro, I would go out on top. But shout out to Vardy, and shout out to this second player that I really want to talk about, because Eberechi Eze, my goodness gracious. I just want to take a time out so I can verbatim read what I said last week as my Premier League takeaway. I said, hold on, where is it at? I'm trying to find it. I'm sorry.
It drops out after the... at the end of every match week, the day after.
Yeah, so for those of you who may only be watching on Instagram, we do watch we do drop our Premier League and MLS takeaways from the last match week or match day. And this is what I said last week about Eze. I said, Eze's brace at Tottenham takes his season tally to 7 goals and 8 assists in 32 games. Even after losing his old running mate Olise to Bayern, Eze has been flying this year, now set for an FA Cup final. If he manages to deliver Crystal Palace's first trophy since 1994, he will be cemented as a club legend, in my opinion. And who else but Eze to score the one goal in the FA Cup final against Manchester City to send them packing? No trophies this year for you, City. Sorry, but not sorry. I have been watching this Crystal Palace. I told y'all this year, I really, really was curious about this Crystal Palace team because, first and foremost, they started off the year with, like, I think they started off the year, the first 4 or 5 games, no wins. I think they lost their first four, something like that. And for them to have the turnaround they have had, you know, to be sitting currently 12th on the table after fighting, you know, being in the relegation zone very, very early. This Crystal Palace team under the tutelage of Oliver Glasner. We got to shout out Glasner, man, because what he's been able to do with this team is huge for this Crystal Palace team. You know, people forget they're in London, you know, one of the many clubs in London. And they obviously get overshadowed by the Chelseas, the Arsenals, the Tottenhams, which I don't believe they should anymore because y'all know how I feel about Tottenham. We don't even got to talk about it. But this Crystal Palace team under Glasner this year, phenomenal from where they started to where they ended. I know their fans are just their fans are on top of the world right now, man. And for them to just end their season with an FA Cup final, shout out Mateta. You know, I've been talking about him a lot this year. Shout out Eze. Shout out Chris Richards, the American, who did a lot in that match. You know, he was locked down on that right side. You know, I got to shout out my American when the respect is due. You know, we look over at Milan, there are a lot of Americans over there, and they're no longer in Europe. So for them to win an FA Cup, Crystal Palace is going to be in Europe next year. You know, that's kind of crazy. So you know, I said what I've had to say about them. I've been gassing this Crystal Palace team all year. You know, a few weeks ago, I told Gabriel, I said, look, y'all play Palace. Don't think it's a walk in the park. Palace is here to ruin people's lives. They're playing spoilers in a lot of these games. And so for them to, you know, like I said, have the season end with an FA Cup just shows what they were able to do this year for real. And a lot of people probably, you know, casuals probably weren't paying notice, but now you have to. So shout out Glasner, shout out Eze, shout out Palace.
No, that was good, Cornelius. I think you said something that really stuck out to me. You know, there's a lot of people in this Crystal Palace team that really, I was really happy to see them get this championship. Obviously, Eze, just starting with him, I think, you know, especially seeing Olise leave this season and kind of leave for a bigger team and kind of, you know, it's kind of that's like his step up. For him to stay and be like, and to then win the championship as well too, you know, I'm sure he saw Olise lift that Bundesliga title the week mm-hmm. before, and now he's lifting the FA Cup. So I was really happy to see him, man. He had a really bad injury. I can't remember when it was. It was a few seasons ago, and then he came back from that and, you know, honestly has been better. So shout out to him. Not just him, but like look at guys like Mateta. You know, Mateta, another great story. Another guy who
– Hey, France, call him up. Yeah. France, call him up.
Another guy who really bro, he played for France in the Olympics, and he was huge for them. He had a really bad injury not too long ago, so to see him there, I saw a picture of him with his mom celebrating with the FA Cup trophy, so that was nice. Ismaili Sarr, a guy who's been bouncing around in the Premier League in England, and, like, now here you are lifting an FA Cup. I know they – This may be, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but to be very honest with you, the best right back in the Premier League season has been this Munoz guy. And
criminally underrated.
And like, it took me until like halfway through. I was like, man, this guy is always doing stuff. He's always in the mix. And so to see him, Adam Wharton, another guy who come back from injury.
Young buck.
Yeah, young buck. Like you mentioned, Chris Richards, the American. Shout out to him. You know, we get a lot of slack for playing out in Europe, and I think this guy actually contributes on his team. Not saying that others don't, but, you know, they need him. They definitely need him. Mark Gahey.
Eddie Nketiah, man. Shout out to Arsenal, yeah. Boy.
Mark Gahey, Eddie Nketiah. Shout out to Dean Henderson. Yes, Eze is going to get the recognition, but – Dean Henderson had the save on Omar Marmoush. So,
yeah, okay. You know what I'm
saying? Mm-hmm. Shout out to him, the former Red Devil, man. So, and then, like you said, the manager Glasner, man. Like, it's been fun, man. And last thing that I want to say in regards to them is, I saw Rebecca Lowe say this on, I don't know if it was a podcast or if she said it on the channel, but she's a Crystal Palace fan, and she was essentially explaining like the feeling of having supporting a team like Crystal Palace. You know, maybe we don't understand that because we all support teams that have won big trophies before, and more or less the expectation going into every year is we got to walk away with something. We say it always on this podcast. And she was just saying, like, you know, supporting a team like Crystal Palace is just like it's such a unique experience, because she was like if we win this, it's going to be like one of the best days of like my life. Like, I'll never forget this day, the day that we won our first trophy. Our first, you know, I'm not old enough to remember United's first trophy. You guys aren't either to remember Chelsea or Arsenal, but, you know, it's one of those, that's what makes the FA Cup like what it is, man. And, you know, I don't want to take it away from England, but, you know, that's why I really want the US Open Cup to stay here in America, because, you know, you can really have teams that play in these lower divisions and maybe make a run at something like Crystal Palace did. Yes, I mean, Palace plays in the Prem, but I mean,
no one expected this.
Yeah, no one expected this, man. Shout out to them. Incredible. Yeah,
I think it's I'm just happy, you know, I feel like he got this is his like a Declan Rice moment. You know, captain, young, and led his team to, you know, their first trophy, and couldn't be happier for him. Dealt with a lot of rejected from Arsenal. I think Brighton as well, worked his way up through the ranks, and you know, to captain your side and bring home a trophy to a place that's never had one. I mean, Crystal Palace has had some decent teams in the past. I mean, you got to think about it. Even Zaha wasn't even able to do this, you know. And he got close, I believe, as well. But I think he got to an FA Cup semifinal. But yeah, you know, this is just a great story. But then also, you know, just a great player. And I've always liked Eze as a player as well. So I don't see him leaving. I think he's just gonna be a Palace. I mean, he already is a Palace legend. Give him a statue when he's done, for sure. He has to have a statue. First, if you're like the leader of a group and you get the club their first trophy, I think it's guaranteed you need a statue. I was very happy with his performance. Very happy for him, and always love to see City lose. So lovely.
No, I agree with that, man. Just want to end it by saying, again, shout out to that whole Crystal Palace. Just shout out to that whole fan base. Like you said, you know, and I didn't even hear Rebecca Lowe say that, but that's incredible. You know, rooting for a team that, you know, every win means so much more than just 3 points, because you don't really know where you're going to be at the end of the year. And so for them to get a trophy, first trophy, like, fam, like, I couldn't imagine, you know. I remember what it was in 2016 when the Cleveland Cavaliers won, you know, our NBA championship, you know, first championship in the modern era. I know the Browns won before the Super Bowl era, but, you know, there's a reason why we had 2 million people come, you know, from all parts of the world to celebrate, because that's truly what it means when you're a city that, you know, just loves your sports teams and rallies around it. And, you know, against all odds, you end up getting, you know, that coveted trophy, that coveted championship. It's just amazing. So, I can only imagine what that part of London feels like right now. I know the city was up. I know the city was up.
South London, the men them were outside. Them
kicking it, you feel me? Kickback FC type. So, I really just want to say shout out to them, man. That's huge. And I said this, and I said this in the group chat. I don't think that Eze leaves, because at this point, you look at teams like Bournemouth, you look at teams like Fulham, you look at teams like Brighton. You know how they've emerged in the last 2 to 3 years. You know, fighting for European pole position. I think if you build around Eze, he's only 26. Like, we keep forgetting, he's only 26. He's technically hitting his prime right now. So for me, I think you take this win, you build around Eze, you have Mateta up there, who's a proven goal scorer. Munoz, who, you know, like we said, he's criminally underrated. I think they have a very good skeleton. If you can, you know, pick players here and there and build around this team, Palace could be crazy, bro. We see Nottingham Forest. Last year, they were fighting relegation. Now they're trying to be top four. And there's no reason why this Palace team can't invest in their squad after seeing what they've done this year and be one of them teams that could be in the top five, be in the top eight, and you know, be fighting with our clubs. So shout out to Palace, and I'm really excited for Eze. I just want to say happy for you guys and everything you guys accomplished this year. But, you know, speaking about the top four, we got to talk about the top four race. Shout out Arsenal for doing what you had to do against Newcastle today. Because I'm just going to start with Chelsea, man. Because 2 weeks I came on here and I said, out of our last four games, I see 10 points. That loss to Newcastle was hard, because I truly believe in my heart of hearts, if we played 11v11 for full 90 minutes, we come out with a result. But you can't dwell on the past. You just got to look forward. Thank you, Salam, for donating your 3 points. I know you guys are worried on, you know, facing Tottenham in the Europa League final. I know that's where you guys are focused. But for Chelsea, this was a huge win. And Reece James got the start. He hasn't started in a very, very long time in the Prem. And for him to get the game-winning assist, it was just serendipity, bro. This season has been very up and down for us, bro. We started off on a heater. First half of the year, people were talking, are they going to go and challenge for the cup? And I said, look, I don't think this Chelsea team has what it takes to go and challenge for 38 games and be top two, top three. I said that from the jump. I really didn't. I know you guys wanted to pressure me into saying that we're in a title race. I truly never felt we were, because this team just isn't there yet. But what this team did show me is that they have the fight. They got fight, bro. Last year, we ain't have it. This year, our last two matches are finals. Whether you want to think so or not, we have a Conference League final, and we have a final away at Nottingham Forest. Both of those, to me, are finals, and they should be treated as such, because Champions League is, you know, we won it in 2021. It's not so long ago that we won the Champions League, you know, and I just saw a graphic today about the Roman Abramovich era and all the trophies we won, 5 Premier Leagues, you know, 2 Europa Leagues, a couple FA Cups, Champions League, obviously, Club World Cup, you know, he got the gambit. Under the Abramovich era, we won everything. And again, I was born in 95. When Abramovich came over and took over in 03, that's when I became a fan. And so that's all I know of Chelsea Football Club. I truly only knew the Roman Abramovich era, and for it to be halted so abruptly in the way it was. Bro, for me and Mike, it's been a very weird 4 years. Like, we haven't known how to feel. Like, we've only seen greatness. So the fact that we stooped so low and, you know, have had to get it out the mud, as we like to say on here, it's been very, very tough as a Chelsea fan, because we've had to humble ourselves. We've had to step back and say, this is a process. You know, Arsenal obviously went through it, and now they've seen what, you know, 2, 3, 4 years of building does. And now on the other side of it, I love this Chelsea team, and I love the core. You know, I'm always going to love Chelsea Football Club, but it's been tough to love them sometimes. You know, it's been tough to see some of these performances, and, you know, you expect a lot from your club. And so for them to get this win against United, bro, this was a tough win. Salam said it last week. Every time Chelsea plays United, you really don't know what it's going to be. It could be a 4-3 game winner at the end of the match by Cole Palmer, or it could be a 1-0, or it could be a 1-0 win. You know, it really, it's day by day with these two clubs. And it doesn't matter how low or high either of us are on the table. This is heritage. You know, when clubs match up, when Arsenal and Chelsea match up, I'm going to say it, Arsenal has our number. For better or worse, they have our number. When United and Chelsea match up, I'm not going to say we have either of our numbers. I just think it's one of the matches where it's like, bro, may the best man win today, because it doesn't matter what we did 2 weeks ago. It doesn't matter what we did yesterday. This game could go anywhere. And so massive, massive, massive win for Chelsea. And I'm just going to end it saying this. Nottingham Forest, we are coming, and we want all the smoke. I want to finish top 4. I don't know who Newcastle plays next week. I hope they lose. I personally want to finish top 4. I know top 5 gets you to Champions League, but again, I said this last week, I said this 2 weeks ago, I said this 3 weeks ago. This is a mentality thing. We have to treat every match as a final, and at this point it is. So, massive win from the boys. Shout out Reece James, oh captain, my captain. Now we do this again next week. We do this again next week, boys. It's not over. We have 2 finals left.
Yeah, Newcastle plays Everton next at home.
Good. Everton be spoilers. Why not?
They're good for that, honestly. They're good for a good spoiler. Yeah. So long. No, you got any words?
No, I'll talk to you at predictions. I mean, to be very honest with you, I think that was your team at full strength. And and I was really impressed with Chelsea, but I'll save what I have to say about United for predictions.
We win, you don't have anything good to say, we lose. You have everything bad to say. So, you know, I'll take it. That's how I know you respect
the game. Yeah, okay. You beat us. Okay, very good. But
I need to not swing.
I think for you guys, I mean, we'll talk about it in predictions here in a little bit, but you have 2 big predictions coming up. So I think the game against Nottingham Forest is everything. I think all of this doesn't matter. If you don't beat them, then it's, you know.
Cooked.
So let's talk about that a little bit, to be honest, because It is Super Sunday. So the teams currently sitting in the top four, Liverpool, they won the league. Arsenal, second place. Newcastle, third. Chelsea, fourth. Aston Villa, fifth. Mm-hmm. All sitting on 66 points. And then Manchester City and Nottingham Forest, sixth and seventh, respectively, both sitting on 65 points. Sure. So let's talk about it. You know, we see Man City away at Fulham next week. We see Aston Villa away at United next week. We see Newcastle home against Everton, as you said, and then Nottingham Forest home against us, Chelsea. So out of those four matches, it could, you know, the cookie could crumble, bro. Like we really don't know how any of these matches are going to play out. We like, obviously, and we can even get to predictions right now, but to be honest, those are all tricky matches. And so when I look at the top four, let's just call it top five, nobody's really set in stone right now when you look at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So, you know, for me, you know how I feel about Chelsea. I think we're going to go and get a result. I think we're going to get a win, but a lot of tricky matchups. A lot of tricky matchups.
I think you guys is winning. Go ahead, Gabriel. Sorry.
No, go
ahead. I was just going to say, I think you guys will beat Nottingham Forest. I said this a few weeks ago. I think every time that they've been tested against a really top team, they've come up short, especially in this new year. I don't know what happened, but whenever they play against the top teams, they just, for whatever reason, just forget how to play. I think the Man City game versus Fulham away, that's a tricky one because I think Fulham have nothing. Fulham have nothing to really play for by any means, but.
And City doesn't look great.
City doesn't look great, but I think with it being KDB's last game, I think that they'll get the dub. I think that everybody will be up for that game. Omar Marmoush had a very poor moment, I would say, so I think that he'll bounce back. I think City will win, in my opinion. This Aston Villa versus United game, though, I honestly think that we'll get a point. And the only reason why I say that is because this game obviously is going to be after the final, so... And I think this is going to be our last home game of the season. So I know that, you know, at home, we seem to just have a little bit more. And I think that us being at home is going to give us the edge that we need against Villa. But I don't see them getting 3 points. I think that we'll both share a point. Really, your matchup versus Nottingham Forest, that's the one where I'm like, because that ultimately you're knocking each other off.
Okay, real quick question. Give me your predictions. Top five. What do you think it ends up with? Match come Super Sunday. 1:15 hits. All the matches are done. What's your top five?
I'll go Liverpool, Arsenal, Newcastle, Chelsea, Man City.
I'm gonna say the same top four, but I think Villa stays in fifth place. I don't know, man. This City team, they don't impress me, and I think Fulham is a trap game. Like I they really don't impress me because if you look at the table, all Villa needs is a draw. So if City gets a draw, you know they stay in sixth.
Yeah, but my issue with Villa is their goal differential. It's so bad. It's definitely gonna play a factor, especially if they draw. But honestly, this is going to be my top five. My surprising people. I have Liverpool 1, Arsenal 2. I'm actually going to put Man City at 3. I'm going to put Nottingham Forest at 4. I'm going to put Villa at 5. I think Chelsea's going to miss out. I'm not going to lie. I think Nottingham Forest gets 3 points. And the only reason I say that is because I mean, it's gonna be the match of the week. I think this is the match I'm gonna be watching. I could care less about Arsenal at Southampton. So, you know, we're solidifying that second spot. We're not going anywhere. But I think Forest is one of the hardest places to play in the Prem. I think that the 12th man with the crowd is going to play a huge part in that. And yes, they've been, you know. They've been very, very shaky as of recent, and they're not very experienced in these type of moments or, you know, fighting for top four, so this is new to them. But with that being said, playing at home, last match of the week or the season, families in town, you know, everyone's going to take their families at the end of the pitch or the end of the match. I don't know. I have a weird, odd feeling that Forrest is going to pull a little madness and there's going to be twists and turns. So that's my top five. I do think Chelsea will mix up, but we'll see. We'll see. Right, I can't wait till Super Sunday. Everyone plays at the same time. And
I love it. And you know what? It's funny you said that because I was waiting for somebody to talk about their home record, right? Their last home win was April 1st, April Fool's Day. That's probably why they played Manchester United, 1-0. Their last four home matches, 1-0 loss to Everton, 2-0 loss to City, 2-0 loss to Brentford, 2-2 draw to Leicester. I'm not worried. Nottingham Forest, I want all the smoke. I'm telling you right now, we're coming in and we're getting 3 points. Just letting you know now. So next week we ain't really gotta talk about it. I've been saying this all year.
So if they take this L next week,
we're coming.
This clip of Cornelius needs. I need it. Ha!
Clip it right now. Clip. Hey. 1:15. Salam. I said it at about 1:14. Clip it up. Clip it up right now, please. Clip it up.
Can't wait.
It'll be boosted.
Yeah. 1,000. Because I started 3 weeks ago. I told y'all, out of our last four matches, I see 10 points. Again, we fell short to Newcastle. You just got to move forward. But out of our last two matches besides that, 3 points, 3 points, I see another three. But
so when is your guys' you guys play?
We all play at the same time, fam.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying your guys' conference league game is actually the following week.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So, again, like I said, two finals. The most important one is this one against Nottingham Forest.
Okay.
Okay. Wait. Before we get off this and move from topics, I have a question, Cornelius. I don't want to phrase this. What is success for you this season? If you win the cup but don't get a Champions League spot, is it successful? If you get a Champions League spot, lose the cup, is it successful?
Yes. The entire year, I've been saying this. I want Champions League. I want it back. The whole year, I said top four is the goal. This whole Conference League thing, I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's kind of beneath our club, to be honest. If you really want me to speak candidly, I mean, a lot of these teams that we're seeing, this is putting them on a world stage, you know. I don't want to be disrespectful, but when you're a team like Chelsea Football Club, you have to aim for the highest possible awards and accolades. And, yeah, you know, the cookie crumbles the way it crumbles, but at the end of the day, we led the table in the group stages of the championship. We haven't really lost in the knockout rounds. And for this to be our final against, you know, a Fiorentina team that, you know, people were saying Batiste was going to be there. The whole time people were talking about Batiste. Well, you know, Isco, Antony, they're going, yeah, and they're not there. So for me, it's how do we do what we're supposed to do? But again, I think that getting Champions League is exactly where we need to be. Even if we don't do well in Champions League next year, I think this team deserves to be at the highest level. So my whole prerogative this year, I mean, even if you go back to the first episode of the year in New York, you know, I said, I think we'll finish fifth place. And right now we're in fourth, potentially maybe fifth, but I personally think this year is a success if we get top four. Conference League for me would just be a cherry on top. Like, again, we better win it because we should. But, you know, I wanted to say something. You know, in the last 3 years since we've had this new regime change, Chelsea has been in three finals. We've been in FA Cup and Carabao Finals. And then this, you know, well, technically four after this year. So it's not like we haven't had chances. It's not like we haven't done well in tournaments domestically and abroad. We just haven't been able to finish the deal. So for me, this is going to be huge because if you think about who our previous managers were, Frank Lampard, you know, we had Pochettino, you know, we also had, what's old boy's name? Graham Potter. None of them were able to finish the job. So for me,
gave it their best.
You know what I'm saying? You know, the boys gave their all FC. That's who we've been for the last 3-4 years, and I'm tired of it, fam. I'm so tired of it. To go that far and some of, bro, we gave Leicester a cup. We gave Liverpool a cup. You know I hate giving Liverpool anything, you know? So for some of these matches, they weigh on me heavy. So for this, like I said, two finals, success for me is Champions League. Conference League would just be a cherry on top. But I fully expect to win that as well.
Okay. Say less.
Yeah, man, that's truly how I feel about it. And I'm going to say this too. United, y'all better win on Wednesday, fam.
All right. Here we go. Y'all better win on Wednesday. Sure. Well. How do we find ourselves here? 3 years, three finals, right? And this message is for a specific someone. But, you know, with it being our banter years, I would say. And I would say that the past 5 years, I don't know, I would say even since we started this podcast, you could argue we've just been going down. But this is what I'll say. Spurs versus United, I'm 100% confident that United is going to lift this Europa League trophy. 100% confident. They don't have Kulusevski. They don't have James Maddison, which means they don't have any creativity. Yes, Dominic Solanke has had a great season, great addition for them in that front line, but I'm not worried at all, one bit. They have no creativity whatsoever. We've been to Bilbao. We felt very comfortable when we were at Bilbao the last time we were there. And most importantly, I just feel very comfortable with the opponent that we have as well, too. I'm not worried at all. And only United can have the season that they did. I don't know if people remember. The only reason why we're even in this Europa League is because we somehow scammed an FA Cup last year. And now somehow only my club, right, can somehow find themselves in Champions League while you guys are out here working hard week to week and you're fighting. And we're about to find ourselves in a Champions League once again. But all jokes aside, this is a massive game for us. We have to win. We know the financial benefits that come with finishing in the Champions League and with where we are as a club, and the Jim Ratcliffe saying that we would have went bankrupt at the end of last year. We need this Champions League money. And I think that it's only going to help Amorim get the players that he needs, because we need investing. We need a big summer this year. And honestly, if we are able to win, I think it opens up a lot more opportunities for players in terms of attracting players to come. And, you know, build around this coach in this new era. So it's a big game for us, but I feel very comfortable. I would say, you know, in the final that we had against Newcastle and in the final that we had against Man City last year, this is the final that I feel the most confident in. And with no Kulusevski and no James Maddison, sorry, Ange, but we're going to be lifting that Europa League trophy. I'll see you in Champions League next year.
I shall see you too.
I mean, I'm there.
I hope already. You're there. I hope. I know Gabriel, I know I'll see you. Cornelius, Europa League isn't bad either.
I love how confident you are. And again, the only reason you're there is because you snatched that FA Cup from us. But again, the past is the past.
Yeah, no. I do want to say this. I never thought I'd ever say this in my entire life, but I want them playing. I don't want them to win. I think you guys are gonna get. I think you guys are gonna get a trophy, another trophy. Sad to say, but yeah, I can't. I couldn't bear to see this team win a trophy in general. Let it alone be a European trophy. And you're right. I think when it comes down to things like this, I mean, it's kind of hard to say this on a week where we just saw Crystal Palace get their first trophy ever, but Yeah, I think experience just comes down. A lot of these matches come down to experience, and United has the experience, and also United is just a cup team. Just a cup team. Always in a cup. Always in a cup. Somewhere in the mix in a cup. So, yeah, no, I think you guys are good for one-offs. You've said this all season. One-offs are kind of your specialty where, you know, consistency isn't there, but you can have a great match 1 week. And that's really all you need during this final. So, yeah, no, I think United will come out with a trophy, Europa League, and be good.
Yeah, man. Before we get into predictions and shout-outs, just a couple of things I wanted to talk about as far as news. So I'm not sure if anyone is aware, but Salford City FC, they're currently mm-hmm. in League Two, which is the fourth division of English, you know, tiers, Premier League, Championship, League One, League Two. They just got new ownership. David Beckham and Gary Neville are going to be part of the new ownership group. And I think this is huge, man. You know, we've seen what David Beckham's been able to do with Inter Miami. Obviously now Salford City, you know, a League Two team who's been, you know, I just want to read David Beckham's post. He said, "Salford played such an important role in my life growing up. It's where I trained with United alongside my best mates every day. It's where I bought my first house and where me and Victoria lived. So proud to be part of a new ownership group alongside my mate Gary Neville as we begin the next chapter of Salford's journey. Football is at the heart of this community. I can't wait to see what the future holds for the Emmys." I mean, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. We saw what Wrexham's done, you know, by getting good ownership, and now they're in the Championship. And Salford City, like Beckham said, you know, this is a football city. This is where United used to train. It's where he bought his first house. So you can tell that this team, you know, the city really, really cares about football. You know, if you don't really pay attention, you may have never heard of Salford City, but a lot of us had never heard of Wrexham up until, you know, a few years ago. And now to see where they are, it's just a testament of, like I said, good ownership of what that could do. So I'm really excited to just pay attention to them. I'm not sure if they'll have a TV show like Wrexham, but, you know, with Beckham, everyone's always tuned in to see what he's doing next. So I think this is massive for the city. It's massive for the club, and definitely going to keep my eyes out on that team following, you know, the next couple of years just to see how they do. But yeah, man, that's huge for them. And then I got to shout out my Chelsea women's team. Completed a treble this year. This Chelsea, man. Men, let's figure it out, eh? Let's get our trophy so it's not the girls outshining us, all right? But the Chelsea women's team, you know, obviously Emma Hayes is now the U.S. women's national team coach, but she left it in great hands. This year, the women's team at the League Cup, you know, the domestic trophy for the domestic tournament, they won the league. And they won the FA Cup. You know, we fell short in Champions League losing to Barcelona, but they almost got four trophies this year, fam. Yeah. You know, this Chelsea team, you know, Kat Mercario, Naomi Girma, you know, Americans playing over across the pond, they're getting their licks in. It's been great to see this Chelsea women's team just thrive and just be, you know, just be the pinnacle of women's football right now. And you know, it's huge for them and it's huge for the city, obviously, but as we've been talking about, it's huge for women's sports. You know, it's very, very big to see, you know, just a dynasty. And I love what they've been doing over there. Shout out to the women's team. Just had to give them their props.
Yeah, 100%, man. Chelsea's women's team is the standard, I would say, in women's football, especially over in England. And I think, honestly, with Emma Hayes now, you know, leaving Chelsea and going to the U.S. Women's National League team, I mean, I think it's only going to be like a feeder team, man. You're going to see a lot of Americans go over there. And, you know, for the most part, London is a, you know, I would say very similar to America in some ways. So in terms of lifestyle, you know, I think that there's a lot of pros with, you know, moving out there. And to be very honest with you, I think the next person that's going to head over there is Trinity Rodman. You know, once, mm-hmm. whenever she gets her back figured out, because she has like this long-term back injury, or at least this back injury that's been keeping her out. I think she's going to be the next superstar to head over there. But no, like you guys said, it's Chelsea's women's team is definitely the standard in European football. And I don't think that they're going to slow down anytime soon.
Yeah, man. And, you know, speaking of women's football, this actually wasn't on my agenda, but I just thought about it. You know, Goodison Park was set to close, you know, where Everton has called home for the last, like, what, 130 years? Since, you know, when English football started. You know, Goodison Park, they were initially going to demolish it, but, you know, the owner of the club said, you know what, we're actually not going to demolish it, and we're going to create the first women's, you know, it's going to go to the Everton women's team now. And, you know, he said they're going to update it, upgrade it, you know, for the women's team. And I think that's huge. You know, we've been talking about women's football. A few weeks ago, Gabriel said, what do we need to see in women's football when we interviewed Inonge? And he said, money. We need to put money into the women's game. You know, you see Alex Ohanian, Serena Williams's husband, now being a part owner of Chelsea, just more influx of money there. But we need to see it with these smaller clubs and with more women's team as well. And so for Goodison Park to now be dedicated to the Everton women's team, I think is massive. It's such a historic club. It's such a historic stadium, sorry. And obviously Everton, such a historic club, never being relegated from the top division in English football. So a lot of history at that club, a lot of history at that stadium. And I think it's massive that the women get to play there now. So just wanted to say that as well.
No, I think that's great. That's a really good shout out, Cornelius. And I wanted to, I think that means so much more than just like keeping the stadium there. I think that, like, especially if you're a player now, and if you see that, like, you know, you're going to see that, like, okay, this club actually cares about the women's team and cares about, you know, giving us an environment, a professional environment that we're more than deserving to play in. And to be very honest with you, I don't want to take it away from Everton, but I felt like that's kind of why United have been kind of where they are in terms of, like, on the women's side. If you look at it, you guys, I don't know if you guys know or not, bro, we had a bunch of players here. We have one of the top managers as well too, and Casey Stoney. And, like, bro, we had Lauren James here, we had Katie Zellum here, we had countless of names. But, you know, time and time again, they show that they don't really care about the women's team, and they neglected the women's team. And if you look into it, they talk about how, you know, sometimes the training situations, it wasn't great. And, you know, if you're a player and if you're going through that, you're going to be like, obviously, like, why would I stay here? Why would I stay in a situation where it's not, they clearly, like, don't care. So I think that this move for Everton is huge, and you're going to see them, you know, attract more players because, you know, they're showing that, okay, they care about this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's massive. So shout out to them for that. But yeah, man, that great episode. Did we officially do predictions or? Yeah, I mean, I feel like you said, Gabriel, y'all play Southampton.
We play Southampton next week. We could lose 10-0. I really don't mind. I do that. I'll be watching your match, Chelsea, Nottingham Forest, and flipping through a couple of matches. But yeah, Southampton, you know,
right there with you.
Yeah, I'll. I don't know. We'll be all right. 2-0, 3-0. Go home.
Yeah, like I said, we see Nottingham Forest. Truly could care less about the score. I just know we're getting 3 points.
And we will lift the Europa League trophy.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, let's do shout outs real quick. I had one shout out. About this week is going to go to Offie of the Portland Thorns. She had herself a game. She scored and assisted Peyton Linehan, which, if you haven't seen that goal, the first touch that Linehan takes to bring it down and then the shot, wow, what a goal. But, yeah, Sam Coffey played a big part in the Thorns' 4-1 win over Houston. That's 5 straight games for them unbeaten in the league. They're now up to 4th place in the NWSL table, and prepping for a CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinal against Tigres on Wednesday. So shout out to them. They're doing all of this without Sophia Wilson as well too. So you got to give them credit. And they're definitely have been one of the best teams so far in the NWSL.
Yeah, I got 2 this week. Shout out to Reece James, man. Like I said earlier, oh, captain, my captain. That that assist, bro, like that was just pure class. And that is what we've been missing, you know, for a lot of this season. And, you know, you got to take it easy with Reece James. And, you know, I will say this, shout out to Maresca as well, because I feel like he took his time with Reece James. You know, there have been a lot of games where he's played 60 minutes, he's played 30 minutes, but today he started. And I think it was massive for us to have Reece James start because we needed his presence on the pitch. You know, when you have your captain, like your first name captain on the pitch, it just is a different, you walk with a little bit of a different swag. And so I have to give him the shout out, you know, very Chelsea win, 1-0, defender assist, defender goal, you know, but shout out to Reece James. He's such a monumental piece of this team. And when he's not on the pitch, you feel it, bro. Like as a Chelsea fan, I think we all just love to see him out there. And at this point, we don't want to rush anything with him because we know he's injury prone. So the fact that he was able to get the start and the assist is just massive. And then my second one is 20-year-old Manaka Matsukubo. She plays for the North Carolina Courage, scored her first two goals in a brace this past weekend. I mean, we've been talking about, you know, giving these young women a chance to go play. You know, 20 years old, she scores two goals to you know, lift the North Carolina Courage over the Chicago Stars at home. Both of her goals were very good too, so just wanted to give her a big shout out because that's massive for her. Shout out on opening your account with a brace.
Yeah, I have three shout outs actually this week. Shout out BFC first and foremost, because we just needed the dub and rivalry match too. Just needed it. So good to say in the mix. Second shout outs to David Raya. We played Newcastle today and he had some mistakes, but amazing double saves, a couple amazing saves today that really kept the clean sheet and kept Newcastle you know, at bay. And I mean, we haven't beat Newcastle, I don't know how long, if I'm being completely honest. I think it's been over 2 years since the last time we beat them. So happy to get, you know, a clean sheet, but then also just happy to get a win, secure Champions League. Great. And then Kenny said it earlier, but this has always been my shout out since I saw the match yesterday. But shout out Mandy McGlynn, man. Unlucky that she was able, you know, they weren't able to get the win, 3-2 win, but This match could have easily been 6-3, 7-3, you know, could have easily been that without her in goal. So, you know, I know she hasn't gotten the minutes she probably like on the U.S. Women's National Team, but, you know, she continues to get called up. And I don't know, I mean, she looks great so far throughout this season. So definitely just want to give her flowers. And, you know, even though they did draw, obviously, woman of the match for sure. Amazing performance. So shout out to the keepers this week.
That's a good one, man. You just reminded me of one Gabriel. I wanted to shout out two people on FC Cincinnati, Miles Robinson and Roman Celentano. Yeah. You know, I said this a few weeks ago about Miles Robinson. I think that he's been amazing for us this season. And I know it's early, but if you want to talk about one of the best center backs in the league, I think he's definitely up there. I know that he's in the U.S. National League team, mix, but, bro, he and Roman Celentano, bro, have been massive for us. Roman, I feel like he hasn't really gotten, like, a clear shot to show that he could, you know, play for the U.S., but those two are two names that I would love to see on that Gold Cup roster going into this summer. Like I said, I know Miles Robinson has and is a part of the mix already, but Celentano, man, bro, they're sleeping on you, bro. I actually ran into him outside of Kroger.
That's crazy.
Yeah, a while back. I was leaving a baby shower, and I had a few drinks, and I ran into him, and I was like, bro, I told him, I was like, they're sleeping on you, bro. They're sleeping on you. And he was very humble. He was like, yeah, man, I'm gonna keep working. We took a picture. Shout out to him. But nah, man, those two are definitely need to be on that Gold Cup roster. But yeah, good episode, guys. It's crazy, bro. This is, we literally have a week left. of Premier League.
Sad.
This is going to be, we're going to be wrapping up our fifth season so far as a podcast, you know, and it's been wild, bro, from where we started to where we are now. And there's a lot to happen right before then. So a lot of legacy defining matches are this week. for a lot of different people. So, but until then, we appreciate everybody for tuning in. Thank you guys for your continued support, and good luck to you in your future endeavors.